First time, it looks like I can't find no gun. Because I need some more.
Yeah. The committee would come to order, please. This is the House Finance Committee meeting. It is February 16th, Wednesday, approximately 1:40 in the afternoon. We have two items up for discussion this afternoon. We have an update on the Millennium Plan, that is the new tourism marketing mechanism that the legislature put into place last year with the passage of Senate Bill 107. We have folks here from the industry to give us an update on how the implementation of that plan is going. Then we have one piece of legislation for consideration today. It's House Bill 116. Prime sponsor is Representative Jeanette James, dealing with a change in the Division of Ag, actually forming a Board of Agriculture and Conservation. It's my intent today to hear take testimony from Representative James, public testimony from people here and on the teleconference, but not to move that piece of legislation out today. And those are the two items that we have on the calendar. With that, then, why don't we get right to the overview of the Millennium Plan. I think we have two people that are going to be the presenters for the Alaska Travel Industry Association. So if they would come forward. Have a seat, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Ann Campbell. I'm the chair of the Alaska Travel Industry Association. I have with me Bob Dindinger. Most of you probably know. He is our vice president of marketing. Let me just go ahead and...
Go ahead.
It's a pleasure to be here today. Don't get to town as often as we like, so we appreciate the fact that you've taken time while we're here in town for us to come and brief you. I know you have a lot of questions about where we're at and the status of the new Millennium Plan, and the Alaska Travel Industry Association hope to answer majority of those questions today, or at least touch on them. My background a little bit, spent the last 18 years working with the Statewide Economic Development Corporation, worked all over the state from Gamble to Metlakatla, Kodiak, north in the Arctic. Many years experience in small and rural business and tourism development. We handed out to you, I believe, a handout that should, yes, thank you.
Should be on everyone's desk.
Quickly just let you know what's inside there. The top page is a summary of the points that I'm going to hit, Bob and I are going to hit with you today. Attached to it are the copies of the two fiscal notes to sort of remind ourselves where we were with SB 107. They passed with the bill. Also a page from the Millennium Plan that speaks to the budget and the proposed funding for the creation of this new statewide marketing organization. And then for your information, FYI, we've included the new membership information for the Alaska Travel Industry Association, sort of show you what the member categories are, what we are currently envisioning some of the benefits to be. The association is a work in progress, so none of this is, there's more to be added later. The stuff that's there is correct, but we'll be adding as we go along. So that's what your handouts are. What I'm going to talk about today is I'm going to try to give you a very quick overview of the organizational activities that we've undertaken to constitute ourselves, how we've gotten where we are today, and where we believe we need to be heading in the next 6 months or so. And then I'm going to ask Bob Dindinger to talk a little bit about some of the marketing issues specifically related to implementing the new Millennium Plan and faced by the ATIA. Basically, just to sort of remind ourselves where we started out with SB 107, it was passed last year, as you know, really in response to a legislative mandate for the private sector to do more, proportionately fund more of the statewide marketing program. And in addition, to address the problem that we had with the lack of market dollar presence by the state of Alaska in its marketing. So the new Millennium Plan is really designed to raise more money from the private sector and to literally raise more money, to do both. The passage of 107 set in motion a very aggressive timeline for us to put together a very broad-based and representative trade association for the state. And we're working very, very hard on that. We think it's coming along fairly well. Since you last met, at the recess of your session, we spent a good part of our summer month recruiting charter members, going out and getting, trying to find those individuals who, in fact, would be responsible for electing the first board of directors of the trade association. We set as a target for ourselves about 1,000 members. We felt that was the right number. When we were all done, we were pleased that our current charter enrollment is 1,056. We think we got a real nice distribution. Those charter members represent a wide variety of businesses throughout the state of Alaska. They are primarily small businesses. Some 44% of them, for example, have 5 or fewer employees. About 2/3 of them have 15 or fewer employees, and only about 8% of our members are companies that have more than 50 employees. So on the whole, it's an organization of 1,000-plus members that are really very small Alaskan-owned companies. So we feel very good about that. The first job of this group of charter members, as I said, was to help elect the first board of directors. We did that in early fall. We held an election, and 17 directors were elected from far north, southwest, south central, the interior, at large, outside, and in southeast. And those directors themselves represent a very wide and diverse group of people. We have bed and breakfast owners. We have convention and visitor bureaus, cruise companies. We have hotel properties, wilderness lodge operators, small consulting firms, gift shops. So a wide range of folks on the board. And there's only of those 17 directors, there's only 4 of them that represent large companies. Most of them represent small and medium-sized companies, some of which are corporations, but an awful lot of which are, in fact, sole entrepreneurs and or family-owned operations. So it's a very diverse group. Having elected that first board of directors, their first job was to do the organizational work that needed to be done to actually make the ATIA a reality legally. We had an organizational meeting in October where the board met, passed the bylaws, elected officers, and in fact passed our articles of incorporation, in essence doing all the legal paperwork that needed to be done so that we could go out and do business. Our first order of business after having accomplished that was to initiate a search for the president and chief operating officer, which resulted in the hiring of Tina Lindgren as the new president of the Alaska Travel Industry Association, and filling out the remainder of the board by appointing 6 directors to the board. We appointed, a fairly diverse collection of individuals. We appointed 2 cruise operators, 1 highway tourism business from up in the Galkana area, 1 raft operator from the Matsu Borough, a representative from a native corporation who operates hotels in Anchorage, as well as a representative from the Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is, of course, the largest such organization in the state. So again, we tried to get a wide diversity of folks. While we were doing some of this organizational stuff, we were also continuing the process of trying to get member input and visitor industry input into what the process for the marketing should be. We held 5 forums around the state. And while they weren't all as well attended as we liked, the people who were there were very engaged, very interested, and had a lot to contribute. And so we got a lot of feedback from them. As well, the ATIA board participated in a joint planning retreat with the Alaska Visitors Association and the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council in December to talk about what the plan for this year should look like, how we could move forward. And then this board, the ATIA board, held its own planning meeting in January to begin looking at what the goals and priorities of the statewide association should be, organizationally, in relationship to membership, as well as the marketing goals. So we've gotten to the point where we've moved through most of the organizational issues that we have. We've made some decisions about the dues structure. The document that was circulated in conjunction with the Millennium Plan had a dues structure in it. We pretty much stuck to that with a couple of notable exceptions that we're actually very pleased with. One of them is we added a small category. Sort of informational category for very, very, very small businesses. You have to have 3 employees or under. If you don't feel like you want to pay a little bit extra to get into the marketing programs, but you still want to be involved, you still want the information, you want to participate in the networking opportunities, for $100 a year, you can do that. We also added a lower cost category in our affiliate member. Those are the businesses that don't sell directly to visitors, but sell more to visitor industry businesses. We added a lower cap there as well for smaller businesses, and added an individual membership. While it's a non-voting membership, it does allow people who have some interest in the industry to participate as well. All 3 of those were added in an effort to try to ensure that the program has the statewide association is accessible to the smallest of businesses out there, the ones that are just starting up, as well as the smaller businesses. So where we are now is, now that we've made some decisions about the membership dues, we're going to start initiating our membership drive to enroll actual ongoing members and start doing fundraising from members. We're dealing with a lot of organizational issues still in terms of the transfer of assets from the Alaska Visitors Association to the Alaska Travel Industry Association. AVA, as a nonprofit, is offering to essentially transfer their assets to us. There's a lot of legal and accounting issues related to that transfer that we're having to deal with, surprisingly. There's a couple of issues as it relates that we're going to begin dealing with as it relates to the ATMC sunsetting in June. I want to make certain that all of the marketing tools that are available, all the usage rights and so forth, continue into the new marketing program. So we have some issues that we're dealing with there. A big issue for us as well is that even though Senate Bill 107 set as a deadline for a contract August, we would prefer to finalize that contract negotiation much earlier in the process. We're targeting April, optimistically, hopefully, to get a contract sort of initiated. We need to know those have a contract so that we can begin to make the kinds of commitments we have to make on the time frame to make sure marketing is in place July 1, so that there aren't the kinds of gaps in the marketplace that might otherwise occur. If we wait until August, obviously we're going to be behind the power curve. We have to begin developing a marketing plan now to get it into the field. So our goal is to try to get that contract finalized much earlier than SB 107 actually requires it to be done. And finally, and certainly not leastly, I mean, it's leastly, I think I just made up a word. It's important that we raise the industry match. We're well aware of the fact that we've committed to raise a $2 million private match this year. We believe that we are well on our way to accomplishing that. We have several different categories of revenue that we're looking at and to raise, the first being from the communities, coming primarily through convention and visitors bureaus, other marketing organizations, chambers, chambers of commerce, that sort of thing. That group of organizations is right now in the process of holding a conversation among themselves as to what mechanisms that they find mutually acceptable to them in terms of how to sort of assess their budgets for this process. I think they're starting to come to some conclusion as to what would be a fair process. I think there are some of those folks who are still waiting to see what is in the marketing. They're still looking to see what, and that's another reason why it's important for us to get our marketing plan put together, is some of the participants are looking for that. But I think the issues relative to how would we raise the money are very close to being finalized. The same thing is true of the cruise companies. We've gotten assurances from most of the larger cruise companies that they are ready and willing to participate. The executive committee of ATIA will be spending some time in the next month. That's one of our major goals, is to iron down all of those commitments and make sure that we're online with those. And then the pay-to-play will come through the revenue to be generated from member businesses. We'll come through the sale of vacation planner ads, other programs that we put out there, as well as our membership fees. We do believe that we are on track to raise the match. We do not see it as a barrier to our moving forward. We are more concerned about some of the structural issues in terms of our ability to get the marketing plan out than we are about our ability to raise money. We feel very good about where we are right now. And I think that pretty much sums up the what we've done and what we're doing part on everything but the marketing. Bob, if you want to jump in here and talk a little bit about that.
Permission of the chair.
Sure.
I'd be happy to do that. I'm Bob Dinde. I'm president of Alaska Travel Adventures, when I'm not the vice president of the Alaska Tourism Industry Association and their marketing chair. We are totally prepared to move forward in the development of a marketing program. As you'll recall, the impetus for creating the ATIA was multifold. It was that the industry was supposed to take greater responsibility for marketing tourism in Alaska. That meant both financially and with regard to the technical aspects of development of a plan. And that plan was supposed to be broadly representative of the diverse interests of the Alaska travel businesses. We've embraced those goals, and it's timely that we do. Over the last decade, we've slipped from double-digit increases in tourism annually to an increase last year of 1.3%. If we continue the decline and increase, we will begin on a period of decrease. We were very fortunate this last year with your assistance of Legislative Budget and Audit, that the that those retained funds of AVA, the contributions of the private sector companies over the last several years that have been retained as a matching contribution that was not authorized as program receipts, was allowed to be put back into the program this last winter. That allowed us to purchase almost $1 million of tourism marketing that would not otherwise have been possible. That allowed us to be on television this winter, which would have not been part of the tourism marketing plan at all. It has also allowed the Division of Tourism of the state to continue with the Alaska Visitor Statistics Program, which is the baseline database development from which most of our marketing decisions will be made in the future. It has not been updated for the last 5 years, and they will be going to the field with that this coming spring. It's a very, very important thing, and I appreciate the members here who participated in that LBNA decision. Our request as part of the Millennium Plan was for $5 million for the FY01 program. That's what was called for in SB 107. As I look at the fiscal note, which is in the package that you have, if you look at the budget under contractual there, we anticipated $5 million of that $5,200,000 for FY01 to be allocated towards this marketing activity, for which the industry would generate a matching contribution of $2.1 million, or a 35% increase in the amount of contribution from the private sector in prior years. We feel we can raise that money. We feel that we can put that plan together. Part of that fiscal note also referenced in the legislative intent that that money would be allocated in a separate BRU. We looked through the state's budget proposal, governor's budget proposal, and we're finding it difficult to find that money in that budget proposal. That's a challenge for us as we move forward to develop a plan. It is somewhat important that you know the length and breadth of your resources in putting that plan together. So we would, again, encourage that this committee, that as they put this budget process together, that they look to identify a BRU there that would be the allocation for the ATIA marketing activities, so we know how much matching contribution needs to be raised from the private sector. Our intent is, over the next 2 years, to scale back the state's contribution from $5 million in 01 to $4 million. And simultaneously, it is our intent that that marketing program would increase, the industry's contribution to that marketing program would increase from the $2.1 million that we anticipate generating through those pay-to-play marketing activities and contributions to the program this year to $6 million over that same time frame. It's an aggressive goal. We think it is still very much on the horizon and accomplishable. As part of the program of work for this marketing program, we are prepared and are moving forward with the development of a plan that would take on all of the existing marketing activities of both the Division of Tourism, the Alaska Visitors Association, and those that have been done by the ATMC in the past. We think that that consolidation has internal savings just through the process. As part of moving forward with that, we have a tacit understanding with the ATMC to assist us in the planning activity. They have contractors in place. They have an organizational structure that's in place now doing marketing, that the ATIA Marketing Committee and the ATMC Marketing Committee over these next few months of transition will work together to develop that 2001 plan. We think that by doing that, we not only get to provide continuity from one program year to the other, which is important to the private sector operators who have to interact with this plan, but it also substantially reduces the risk of dropping any valuable program elements. One of our concerns and one of the issues that is much in debate at this point in time is a clear understanding as to what extent the Division of Tourism, now the proposal is that the Division of Tourism would cease to exist here soon under the governor's proposal, but that the state, that the department, would mandate the components of a tourism marketing plan. whether it is the responsibility of the industry to fully design a plan and fund it, or whether the state would design the plan and that the industry only gets to react to that design and fund it. We in the industry think we know what the legislature's intent was, but those in the administration have indicated to us that they see the intent somewhat differently than that, and we would ask that that be clarified in this process as well. If I could kind of summarize our current issues, is that the need to clearly define what funding will be allocated to the ATIA during this budget process so that we can react to that and design a program around that. If we can have it clarified for us to the extent that the industry will be involved in the design and the list of components that would be designed for in the development of a marketing program, we think we have an organizational structure that is broadly representative. We think that the 1,000 members of the ATIA do represent a broad cross-section of all tourism businesses in Alaska. The marketing committee, I should relate to that. The current proposal for the marketing committee, I expect it to be adopted this week, is to have a very large marketing committee. It'll be about 24 members. It will comprise a substantial portion of the ATIA board itself. It also comprises past participants of the ATMC to provide that continuity and to facilitate that interaction between the two groups. And additionally, we will be bringing in the DMO's destination marketing organizations from throughout the state, from various regions of the state, to participate with us. We need the funding support, and we need the political support, and we need the knowledge and skills of those people who are doing marketing for the various communities in Alaska. I have little concern, and I know concern has been expressed elsewhere, I have little concern about our ability to get a marketing program put together and on the street by July 1. I'd be happy to address any questions that you have.
With the 17 directors or
yes.
that were, like, what size pool did you have trying to secure those? Do you know off the top of your head?
There was, I recall, almost 50 people running for the board. Now, somewhere between 40 and 50, and it's been a while, but it was a very large pool and quite competitive in some of the regions.
And I wanted to get a real clarification from you that there was no section of the marketing, the ecotourism, cultural tourism, regional tourism, there was no segment of that that you are not now willing to provide through the contractual arrangement. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. Because I'm trying to remember all the debate last year that, you know, whether in fact the industry wanted to do everything that the division...
Yes, we do.
...done over time.
As it relates to marketing, yes.
Okay. How do you see your money to provide the match, how do you see that coming in time-wise? There's going to be some question here about when you sign the contract, do you show... you know, a bank balance, that's your contribution, or exactly how do you see the flow of that money coming in?
Traditionally, and I think that during this coming year, we will lean quite a bit on the tradition of the past and the process of the past, but the contracts have been, the solicitation for contractual commitments for advertising and the vacation planner, that's the largest single fundraising vehicle that has been out there in the past. Those contracts will go out within the next 2 months, and they usually have to be back by before the 1st of July, 15th of July, something like that. That will raise a large portion of those funds. We continue to raise funds throughout the year by selling the names that are generated through the print advertising and the 1-800 numbers on the television ads, so that will raise additional money. So you get a fair amount of the money that's front-loaded into the program, and then some of it you earn as you go. We are very intent on designing significantly more pay-to-play programs in this new process, and particularly to address those issues of cultural tourism marketing and the niche tourism marketing opportunities, where we would pull together those operators who have an interest in those programs and, to the extent possible, try to make them as self-supporting as we can. That's the objective of this transition, is to make this tourism marketing program reasonably self-supporting. So that money will also kind of come over the term of the process. I hope I answered your question.
Representative Mulder.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure. Were you going to have Jenny Fay talk as well? Would you prefer to have her speak first and then have a roundtable discussion? Or because I have kind of questions for both of them, but I don't know. What's your druthers?
Let's just see who else is here. And those are the only three. I guess I just had some basic questions from the department, and then we'll have Jenny come up, and maybe if everybody can stay.
Okay. Well, I just have one for Bob while he's here before Jenny then. And we've known each other a long time, Bob, and I appreciate the fact that more than most, you're a very candid soul, and we have fun discussing things like that. And asking you to take your ATIA hat off and speak as a person, candidly, last year we really tried to put a private sector spin onto the dedication of our efforts toward tourism marketing. And, you know, it appears everybody's dancing around the issue about how cooperative the department has been to try and institute that effort. In your opinion, Bob, has tourism recognized ATIA and given its support to the implementation of the Millennium Plan?
Well, yeah, I mean, tough questions, I guess. I have tough answers. I've been involved in this process for 30 years. I spent 10 years working for the State Division of Tourism, the last 20 years running my own company. I think that there is more tenseness now between the industry and the department than there has been at almost any time during that 30-year period. I think it is because it's a time of great change, and people react differently to change. I am concerned that the division, department has not been forthcoming way, way earlier with their desires of what they would want to see in a tourism marketing program so that we could react to that. We're still kind of waiting for their wish list. I think that that has been counterproductive. I think that that their desire to be tenacious in holding on to the reins of control in the development of a tourism marketing program and to micromanage this marketing program with the time when we're trying to get the industry more engaged is equally counterproductive. And being real clear that I'm not speaking for ATIA and I'm not speaking for ABA or the ATMC. I sit on all three of those boards. No, I do not think that they have been helpful in the process, and I do think that they have slowed the process of making this transition. Is that correct enough?
Yeah. No, like I said, I've appreciated your honesty, and maybe it's not always the things we want to hear, but I appreciate the honesty.
Representative Osterman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bob, Nan, glad to see you here. Sometimes my questions when I start talking about taxes with the industry, I become perceived as being not a supporter of the industry, but I truly am, and my business connections go back to 1985 with the Hunting and Fishing Lodge, and then ending up before I got elected to this office as director of the Kodiak Island Convention. So I do have a very strong understanding and support of the industry, but I do have still a heartburn about taxes and why the industry still has not come forward voluntarily with a tax, a statewide tax, that actually paid state taxes rather than something it pays back into the industry. And obviously, coming from Kodiak, being a commercial fishing industry, we know what it means to pay for our own way. We are taxed heavily, both in a raw fish tax, that half of it goes to the municipality, half of it goes to the state. We are taxed heavily on an assessment basis to pay for our own advertising and marketing in the neighborhood of $7 million that we take out of our own pocket as commercial fishermen and pay for the marketing we do. So we have a hard time understanding why we're still putting money into marketing for a tourism industry which refuses or has been very hesitant of even discussing taxes, much less being willing to pay them. So on a philosophical basis, can I have an answer on taxing the industry that pays back the state for roads and highways and harbors and airports that are all used by your industry as well as everybody else?
Bob will answer them.
Happy to address one more easy question. I would tell you, Mr. Osterman, that I certainly feel for where you come from. I think that you've stated your position well and logically. I think that the challenge is in that the dynamics of the fishing industry are significantly different than the dynamics of the Alaska visitor industry. The raw fish tax that is collected by the processors, of which there are a well-defined group and all fish goes through them, provides you a very easy and identifiable porthole for collecting that tax, and it makes it so that all fishermen have to participate. Our challenge on the tourism side is that we don't have a good single collection point. Not everybody uses a cruise line. Not everybody uses a car rental. Not everybody stays in a hotel room. And so the tax does, we have not yet found a mechanism in which the tax would lay evenly across all visitors or evenly across all tourism operators. The industry actually advocated a sales tax, seasonal sales tax, on goods and services in Alaska that are heavily impacted by tourists during the summer visitor season as a way of funding these kinds of programs. We know the challenges of trying to get sales taxes passed in any number of Alaska communities. We know that that is not an easy thing. It would be the fairest in terms of making sure that all tourism operators were impacted at the same level, if it was a percentage of your gross sales. Yeah, the challenge also for us is that, JCPenney's has a great little gift shop in it that visitors go to, and how do you get them to participate? How do you get the druggist on the corner that is impacted substantially on a seasonal basis, particularly in towns like Skagway, or that have where their commerce is done 90% of the summertime, but the businesses that participate in that are not always identified as quote tourism businesses. I wish I had an easy answer and say, if you put a bullet in here, you can get 99% of the money. But that's our challenge, is that we can't find that porthole that provides an easy collection opportunity. And thus, we have gone down the road of addressing those people who see the need for increased tourism marketing and knowing that it will help them grow their businesses in the past, and putting peer pressure and leverage against them to step up to bat, pay their fair share. And I'm optimistic about that process and our ability to make it succeed. We know that there will still be tourism businesses out there that do not pay their share, will not step up to bat, and will go for the easy ride. We hope, given that there's 1,000 businesses who have already signed on to this process, that they will be in the minority in the future.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate that, and I understand that even when Hickel was governor, they did a study. They would come up with how you would do it. They came up with a list, I don't know whether it was 12, 13, 14 different taxes that had the potential of being imposed upon this industry. That list is still there, and none of those have been imposed in how many years that we've talked about this. I grant you that there probably is no way of equalizing that tax base, for that tax collection on every piece of and every tourism that comes, every tourist that comes here. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good argument that you should do something, and that the industry doesn't have some obligation to the state of Alaska for its roads, harbors, airports, et cetera, that are being used and impacted, when you get right down to it, by this industry, which is rapidly becoming the second largest industry in the state of Alaska. Even commercial fishing is starting to slip when it pale compared to what you guys are doing in this industry and making it grow in the state of Alaska. And I appreciate that. I think it's very healthy for the state of Alaska to have this type of industry. But at the same point in time, when everybody else is paying its fair share for the state, not just the industry itself. I mean, I understand and I appreciate the fact that people are willing to come to the plate and put marketing money aside and put marketing money into the marketing to better their business. But it doesn't have anything to do with bettering the state as far as what it costs the state to do business. And I still have that mental block, I guess you might call it, of why the industry can't come forward and continue to fight it. Statewide taxes, that's fine. I'd go along with it. Last I heard, it was still had to be dedicated to tourism, so didn't do anything for the state of Alaska. I, again, have a problem there. So, I just, when you really get right down to it, the industry, while it pays its fair share when it's supposedly when it comes to marketing, I don't see it paying its fair share towards what the state has to provide to keep the infrastructure here for that type of business that you have.
Have you identified any other problems other than the contractual date or the date to have the contract done being August 15th and your desire to see it sooner? Were there any other problems that sort of come to light with the legislation that was passed?
Well, the two issues, Mr. Chairman, relative to identifying funding within the budget so that it's pretty easy to know where it's going.
But that's just a budget structure issue, which I think...
And a little bit more clarification as to, and I don't know that it needs to be, I don't know that you need to redo SG107, but a little more clarification over the amount of design control and management overview. Now, we certainly feel that it's appropriate that the state would have an overview over these activities. There's state funds going here, but it's... Do they make sure that we're spending the money appropriately? Do they make sure that nobody is walking away with the state's resources and putting them in their pocket, or did they actually design the program? That's a concern. Okay.
And last year, when we were debating that bill, there was tension between segments of the industry. How has that played out now with the formation of the board, you know, the industry participation mechanism coming together? Is everybody together on your side?
I don't get phone calls from everybody. I think that it would be fair to say that there are people out there who are still suspicious, if you will, or wonder whether this new organization will do what it says it's going to do and become a broad-based organization that tries to meet the needs as best it can of the whole depth and breadth of the industry. I think there are people who are very skeptical about that. But I also think there are a number of people who are in good faith, trying to participate in the process and trying to work with us collectively to try to get where we're going. I think there is still some of that, yes.
Representative Davies, question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had some of the similar kind of questions that you had in terms of the regional balance and the balance among smaller industry segments. And maybe to that end, could you provide us with a list of the board members as they are now and kind of where they come from? Both regionally and industry-wise, just to give us a sense of, you know, how it's worked out. And then I share some of the concerns that Representative Osterman had, but I've been willing to put them on hold, as I told you last year, and just see how the plan works out. But I have some of those concerns about, you know, the contribution to the state and the equity across the industry that I hope are working out, and you know, I'm willing to let it see if it will. Lastly, I guess I have a question and a comment with respect to this issue of the state role. You put it in kind of stark in-member alternatives. I thought either the state has no role in developing the plan or develops the plan. I wonder if there isn't, in fact, given the fact that the state has, is putting in a fair chunk of change, that they would have some seat at the table, as it were, in developing the plan, but not, you know, the total, but perhaps not the sole responsibility for it. I mean, is there some intermediate position in there, I guess, is my question.
Sure, Representative Davis, I would say that I think there is. I think that the objective, and I think that the reasonable point is that the state identify goals and objectives. And then we have the ability to develop a program that meets the goals and objectives based on the best resources, advice, and talents that we can muster. As opposed to the state not only identifying the goals and objectives, but actually identifying the individual components of the program that would be employed to reach those goals. But I would put the dividing line there. They establish what they want that money to accomplish, and then measure us after, to find out whether we actually accomplished that.
Go ahead.
I guess I'd like to see you explore the possibility that it can go one step beyond just the goals and objectives, and that would be that in the case, for example, of the other people on the on the on the board, the other industry representatives on the board, they not only help determine what the goals and objectives are, but they're through their representatives, there's a person they're helping to implement. So I guess my question is more, isn't there a comparable role perhaps for the state portion in that respect? In other words, not to develop the whole thing, but to play a role in the actual implementation through a representative or set of representatives.
I wouldn't think there's any problem with that. We don't have a particular issue with that. I think that there's no problem with that. In fact, originally it was envisioned in the Millennium Plan in one of the original versions that the Division of Tourism would in fact sit on the board and participate in it, and it was at their behest that that was taken out. And so it's always, you know, we've always been under the impression that we would have in some way need to work cooperatively with the division. But I think Bob's point is more to the, you know, is this a partnership, is this a cooperative activity, or is this a case of the state laying down the parameters and then we go implement them? Again, it's where is that line? Not necessarily that we don't want to play with the division on both sides of the line.
Well, I think that it would be healthy if we had that discussion, had it fairly clear to everyone what the expectations are.
Okay. Representative Grusendorf and then Osterman.
I'll pass, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Osterman.
Thank you. Specifically to the inquiries section of the Division of Tourism, I think they have three employees working in it, handling all the inquiries that come to the division. Have you anticipated or envisioned that inquiry portion of this division would be taken over by ADIA?
Our original plan was to take that portion over, and that in as much as responding to those inquiries is part of the marketing process, that we would have the responsibility of continuing that activity as part of the ATIA marketing structure.
Okay, I think that's it. And the issue of the budget structure, I'm a member of the new budget subcommittee for the new department. Representative Osterman has asked me to sort of, you know, bird dog the tourism aspect, and we'll be working together to try and come up with a budget structure that does identify that funding, so that not only do you know what you have, but we can track what we've given, what we expect out of it. So we'll be working on that. With that, why don't we have Ginny Fay with the department come forward.
For the record, my name is Ginny Fay. I'm the director of the Alaska Division of Tourism, which is a division of the Department of Community and Economic Development. I'm happy to be here and be able to talk with you. Somehow it feels like I was just here yesterday. I guess these interims just aren't quite long enough. But anyway, I think in the discussion that just went on, I just heard a few issues that it sounds like I probably need to speak to you about. One was our degree of cooperativeness or uncooperativeness, the budget, the intent of the legislation, and how we're going to move forward with a marketing plan. I guess I'd have to say, if you can excuse me, it's sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. The ATIA has just in December sat most of their board, and as of yet, they do not so. And I think they're going through a lot of internal discussions within the industry in terms of what their marketing plan should look like. And to tell you the honest truth, my approach has been to listen to them, listen to the dialogue, and see where they're going. And just in January, they went through a strategic planning process to try to decide what they're interested in doing. I felt that it would be a little heavy-handed to come in and say, this is what you're doing, this is what we want. Giving them the time to at least seat their marketing committee and move forward. We have been having weekly teleconferences since the beginning of January, moving to sometimes more than that with Tina Lindgren, Ann Campbell, and Bill Pedler, who's been their subcommittee to talk about the plan. We have developed, and we put this in your packet, what we have outlined were the state's goals for tourism marketing, and also what we identify as the components that need to be carried forward. Pretty much in January, we all agreed that in order to avoid a discontinuity in the marketing program, that we would carry forward this year's program into next year. So in terms of what's happening next year and their ability to develop a marketing plan, we've pretty much all agreed that we're going to move forward with that same one to avoid upset, because you're usually about a year out. And because of the way this transition works, you can't really make changes now and have that affect the next year. So we've also in here tried to lay out just what the division is doing. They tend to be more familiar with what the ATMC is doing, but not as familiar with what the division does. We've tried to lay out for them what are the main activities in the division's portion of the marketing, and what are the issues, because there really are some fairly significant public policy issues that are raised when you go from moving from state-funded programs that are directed at the entire state to a membership-driven organization doing the marketing. And so we've been looking at and discussing some of those public policy issues, and as Representative Osterman brought up the issues of the inquiry section. That is, sort of a perfect example, because our inquiries section basically sits as a fulfillment house for the state of Alaska. We probably handle close to 20,000 pieces of mail from students, people who want to relocate to Alaska, as well as visitors. Probably about 80% of the inquiries into our inquiry section are independent travelers who call up, primarily about half of them by telephone, and they want information on itinerary planning and just trip planning information. And it's a significant public policy decision when you make that you're going to turn that over to a membership-driven organization, because to date, our inquiry section pretty much represents the whole state, not any particular business, and works at dispersing people out across the state. From that same standpoint, just backing up a little bit in terms of our development of our goals, as a state agency, I think some of the issues that I know that the ATIA has had with us and are not quite happy with us on is that we have a broader constituency being a state agency and what we look for in tourism. We see it primarily as an economic development tool, which is why the state of Alaska invests money in it. And our constituency includes all the residents of Alaska, all the communities of Alaska, and those other 5,000 businesses who didn't sign up as charter members to the ATIA. While we fully support their moving forward, and if the commissioner has sent out letters encouraging people in the industry to join the organization, we also have to think about what happens to those small communities, those people who are trying to grow businesses who might not become members. We have put forward what we think, well, essentially what we've done is we've said we're going to move forward with the same programs into the next year and outlined what we thought were the significant issues that need to be addressed as we move forward and develop a contract. And I think basically where we are right now, in my opinion, is for them to move forward with developing a marketing plan. And I do not think we're micromanaging them. I think we've said fairly broadly what our expectations are in terms of goals, identified the things that we think should be in the program, and I guess that's all I can say on that one. In terms of the budget has been, I think as you remember last year, a relatively sticky point on this, because we submitted a fiscal note that was not adopted, but it was based on what the state currently is investing in tourism and tourism marketing. And also, I think this is in your packet also, we put together for the ATIA and we've identified on each component of the spreadsheet where they can find in the budget document what page that's identified. We pretty much tried to, within the state budget this year, we tried to identify where the different marketing components are so it could be readily visible. I think the bottom line significant issue here, though, is that our total does not add up to be $5 million. And it doesn't add up to be $5 million because we would need an increment to have it add up to be $5 million. Because if in the fiscal note that was adopted by the legislature last year, there's a total of $5.7 million identified in the 01 budget. And we do not spend $5.7 million on tourism. And we, no matter how we allocate it, and also we feel fairly strongly that there's the issue of how much money is spent on tourism now and whether or not that would increase. If you want to give us an increment, that would be fine. We'd love to have $5 million in tourism marketing, but you guys haven't really looked favorably on us on our request for increments. And second, we feel that in this plan that there was never an agreement that we would reallocate the money that's being spent on tourism currently, because we have many of activities that revolve around community planning and development and business assistance, and we feel like those are incredibly important functions, also working with other state and federal agencies and land use plans and access and transportation that we think are critical. There's about $1 million in that activity, and quite frankly, $1 million in a state as big as Alaska, when almost every community is asking us for assistance on whether or not they should become involved in tourism and how they can plan that, is a minuscule amount of money. Let's see, what else? And I guess in terms of the question of the intent of the legislation, there'd be a disagreement on that. I think the way we think we understand the legislation is that we identify the components and what needs to go into the marketing plan, and then we approve it, and then it's implemented by the Qualified Trade Association. But we feel like we do have some input into what the goal should be and what should be the components. And for this year, since I think we basically agreed on moving forward with what we do right now, there's really not a whole lot of issue on what the components are for this year.
Representative Mulder and then Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jenny, you said that we don't spend $5 million on tourism, general fund dollars in tourism this year. Is that correct? I mean, is that what you said?
No, I said we do not spend, through the chair, actually, you're co-chair, aren't you? I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay, don't worry.
I apologize. I'm just so used to him being here.
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Okay. Representative Mulder, I said that we do not spend $5 million on tourism marketing. If you look at the tourism budget, which, and I tried to break out what we spend on tourism marketing, this sheet here outlines what we spend on tourism marketing, and that's 4.1.
Right. Right. I was just going through the fiscal note from last year that we adopted, and we did spend $5.3 million of general funds last year on tourism. But I recognize we didn't spend $5 million on tourism marketing. And I recognize that there's a request to have $5.2 million in tourism marketing for this current year. So I'm not seeing a disagreement, but I guess, it just gets back to, I knew you disagreed with the fiscal note that we adopted. Nonetheless, we did adopt a fiscal note last year that was pretty clear, and yet it wasn't reflected in this year's budget, and I'm curious why not. I mean, it was a pretty clear statement of policy of the direction that we wanted to go. Why was it not incorporated into the budget?
With due respect, as I said previously, that would have required us to have an increment. We basically presented a status quo budget for tourism.
Status quo based upon last year, as opposed to, well, we adopt a fiscal note. I mean, we expect that we're going to have the fiscal note and seeing it back before us again the coming year. I guess the point is, if we adopt a fiscal note and we put it forward, we anticipate seeing it the next year. If we're going to disregard fiscal notes, then we should just adopt that policy, and then we'll disregard them as well when we start dealing with the budget. But I don't understand why it wasn't incorporated, I guess. That's what I'm getting down to.
Well, I guess I can get back with you. That wasn't completely my decision. It's a department and OMB decision.
That's a frustration I have, Mr. Chairman, because we're constantly hit upon the fact that if you put in a fiscal note, you should be anticipating, working with it from the future year, but here it's been ignored. Additionally, have there been any staff reductions?
This year is the transition year, and there's not anticipated to be any staff reductions. Next year, there are staff reduction of three people based on the ATMC disappearing, and then also there's the question of the inquiries section, which is three people, and I think in our fiscal note, and that depends on how the contract negotiations go, because we still have a number of functions that, I mean, I don't know how you want to just not answer student mail anymore. Does the ATIA take care of that? Those are those kinds of issues in terms of what will happen. It depends on what activities they decide to do.
Some of that will be worked out, I think, at the subcommittee level, and putting together the structure that we expected to see. Some of these questions that are lingering out there about who's doing what will have to be taken into consideration at subcommittee level and will be reflected, I guess, our proposal on how that we answer those questions will be reflected in the budget that's submitted by the subcommittee and then action taken on by the full committee. You know, there are a number of places where, you know, I'm continually having my staff look back at old fiscal notes now as we move forward in the operating budget to make sure, you know, what did we promise when we passed the fiscal note? Is there a reason why we're not following through? And if there's no good reason, we really should make full effort to follow through on the fiscal notes that we passed. And this particular bill, there was just a disagreement on what the fiscal note should show. So while it was a bit disappointing, it wasn't a complete surprise to me that the budget didn't reflect the fiscal note that we passed.
I can certainly appreciate that, Mr. Chair. On the other hand, we are the body that appropriates the fund. We are the body that determines policy, fiscal policy for the state of Alaska, despite what the third floor may think. We are the policy-setting, you know, body for the state of Alaska, and we determine our policy through that fiscal note, and I would expect that the administration, like it or not, he signed the bill, they would carry forth the policy that we established within that bill.
Representative Davies.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're, to some extent, mixing apples and oranges. We're mixing what the agency did this year versus what the administration's budget is for next year. Now, the fiscal notes, you know, extend out for 5 years, but we have an annual budget process, and the administration is charged by statute with bringing the budget forward, and that budget is also a part of the process of setting state policy. It's not, although the ultimate determination of how the money gets spent is clearly within this branch. The debate is clearly between and is clearly envisions because of the statutory requirement for the administration to submit a budget. It contemplates that the administration would have a significant role in the development of that policy. And so I think that one shouldn't take such umbrage in the fact that there may be a distinction between the budget that's actually submitted, which is, after all, a proposal for next year, and there's still a lot of discussion to go on that, versus you know, some one-liner in a fiscal note that anticipates something that might happen in the future.
So. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Davies, I can appreciate that. On the other hand, I think the fiscal note is simply a reflection of the overall attitude that the department and the division has demonstrated toward the conversion toward the ATIA process, toward the what I consider the privatization. I mean, we've heard the fact that they really have drugged their feet and not been active participants in trying to be supportive as fully as possible. And I think the fiscal note's just a manifestation of that. And that's the problem that I have. I mean, if they don't want to do it, then they're going to force us to carry out in the policy the mandate to fulfill the reflections of policy that we desired through the bill.
Senator Davies.
I don't think we've heard a fact that there's been a dragging feet. We've heard an assertion that there's been a dragging feet. We've heard another view on that as well, that there are some other issues that need to be resolved and which aren't clear from, as I said, a kind of a one-liner in a fiscal note for the next fiscal year, mind you, what, in fact, the policy is going to be. There's a continuing disagreement on what the policy determination should be. There is a disagreement about that. That's what this process is all about. It's all about debating that. But we don't, in our fiscal notes, we don't bind the administration in the proposal that they put for us for the next year. They can come back, they could propose something entirely differently. If it's certainly okay. The question is, there are, I believe, some fairly significant issues that Ms. Fay has addressed this afternoon, are issues that are as yet unresolved, that in the process of putting that fiscal note out, we didn't really address those issues. Unless the real answer, and there needs to be clarification from the legislature on that, I think, and that's why I suggest that we need to have a continuing discussion about this. If the real answer is that you really don't want certain telephone calls answered, or that you really want them to answer by private operation, then we need to have much more clarity about that's what we're talking about. And I think that there is a very fruitful discussion that we need to have that continues to amplify those things. I think that we're to be upset that the governor has a different view of the world and proposes it in his budget as he's required to by law is just getting ahead of the game here a little bit.
Ginny, do you see, is there a bar, do you think, with getting through the contractual negotiations and to the point that a contract can be signed sometime in April versus August?
Representative, the only issues is that you have bound us in statute. We do not have the authority to sign it before July 1, 2000. And in addition, we're trying to be as flexible as possible. We're very willing to be as flexible as possible in terms of accounting for the money that comes in. But you pretty much set things up in statute so that it was sort of an all-or-none game. They have to have the matching dollars available to us in order to sign a contract. And I'm not so sure that they will have that. I mean, we've been talking about that we will take commitments, written commitments on what people are willing to write checks for. But technically what the system that you set up is before we can sign a contract, we have to see the money. And it also says that we have to see all of the money, not just a portion of the money. So,
Representative Davies?
Could I?
I'm sorry, Representative Osterman had his hand up a while back. So,
thanks. I just wanted to go back to the one other issue that I raised earlier, which is the issue of whether the state, in effect, sits on the board of this organization, and that could you? I mean, we had one response, which was that originally it was that one of the proposals for the Millennium Plan had state involvement on the board of directors, and that I think it was stated that the division asked not to be there. Is that? Can you flesh that out for me? Is that what was the thinking in that? What is the thinking? Or do you have any further thoughts on that?
Representative Davis, through the chairs, that was decided. I mean, the basic issue on that was that if you have a contractual arrangement with someone, you can't sit on the board of the person you're contracting with. I mean, you can't wear both hats. And how we're set up right now is to let a contract with this group. So we can't really be a member of a group that we're contracting with. And I guess getting back to the point about the fiscal note and what the governor's budget says, is we had a number of discussions about this in both the House and Senate Finance Committees, as well as a number of discussions outside of the Finance Committee. And I was basically instructed, the administration was told that, you know, the fiscal note binds you for 1 year, the budget process, you come in, you'll present your budget, and then we will discuss what it should be on a continuing basis. And I guess the other factor is that the Millennium Plan and what was signed off on, the idea all along, and our understanding was that we were going to be ratcheting down the state's contribution. And it was going to begin the first year, and then the community contribution was ratcheting up. And I guess the fundamental question that we have is are we going to be reducing the state's contribution if we raise it almost $1 million this year? And we, you know, it just seems like sometimes we do the Millennium Plan and sometimes we don't.
Chairman, if you don't mind. Do we have time for this or not?
Yeah, well, we need to wrap up here in, say, 5 minutes. But
could I have Bob come back up?
Well, Representative Osterman, you had a question a while ago. Yeah. I skipped over. Do you still have a question?
Well, first off, a statement. I think that the subcommittee that I'm in charge of that will handle this department will come out very clearly in its recommendations to the Finance Committee exactly what it expects the division to do and what it expects the industry to do, both in the fiscal note that will be there, plus probably a letter of intent that will go along with it to define all of these question marks that we've been dealing with. I don't anticipate that there'll be much doubt when the recommendation comes to the Finance Committee as to whose responsibility what will be. And I also think that the industry itself has already stated very strongly that they plan on meeting those financial obligations of the match, and I don't think that should be any kind of a hindrance or any kind of a question mark as to whether they continue, whether you continue on with the discussions of putting the contract together. The one question that I have is in reference to the inquiries, and you heard that the industry say a few minutes ago that, yes, they anticipated that as part of their contract and part of the responsibility they were accepting. And I sense a hesitation on your part that you feel that it's a broader responsibility of the state to do the inquiries, and given that the industry is expecting that, and I think that it was the intent, my personal opinion was it was the intent of legislation last year that those inquiries went with this contract. Are you hesitant at this point in time still in putting that in the contract, that they will do all of those inquiries?
Representative Osterman, through the chairs, I don't think it's fair to say that I'm hesitant. When we're talking about transferring programs, I guess the issues that come up is when you answer the phone with 40 or 50,000 people and they are, do we transfer it, but then we keep doing the student inquiries and other inquiries, the relocation, all those other inquiries, how do we do that? How do we divide that up? And then the way it's done now is that we answer inquiries on behalf of the entire state, not representing an individual business, and to help people figure out their trip planning. And most of those are independent travelers. The public policy question comes in is if we transfer that, is there the expectation that that will continue to be the way that work is carried on? We also mail out printed collateral for all of the communities in the state, and we don't charge them for that. When you transfer inquiries, will we continue to do that? There are a lot of services that we provide to communities in this state that we do free of charge, and a lot of those happen through the inquiry section. Will they continue to have the benefits of those? What are their expectations, and how does that fit in with them going from a situation where they are not paying into the state program, which is the customary and usual thing in every other state? Communities don't usually pay into it, except in terms of cooperative pay-to-play. How do you work out the issues of now starting to pay in and then also paying for services that you used to get as part of being communities and residents of the state? So I think those are important questions that need to be answered before you just blindly pass something over with people having very different expectations.
Yeah, I'll follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I can appreciate your concerns, but it appears to me that either in your discussions with the industry over the last however many months since the bill passed last July, that you don't feel that the industry is willing to come forward and do that. And if that is the case, then I guess we need to know that as well, and we can really define exactly what we expect. I mean, it appears to me that the industry itself is in a position to do this. If they accept the responsibility and say that's part of their contract, and if it's in a contract, obviously there is some rebuttal that the state has if they're not doing it. So I don't see it as a real problem, other than the fact that you know, what is the responsibility of the state of Alaska, and what do we as legislators, what policy do we want to set for what the responsibility of the Division of Tourism is for the state of Alaska? And if we say that the responsibility is to monitor the contract, then that's what we feel, and we'll give the contract to the industry to do. I mean, it seems pretty plain and simple to me. Are there areas what the division does right now that you feel that the industry cannot do if it was the will or the policy of the legislature that they take over the responsibilities like we're trying to do? Is there an area that you feel that the state of Alaska has such an obligation to that they cannot turn over to the industry to do?
Representative Osmond, through the chair, you're saying in terms of the tourism marketing?
No, the division. I'm asking about your division. If you want to turn the whole tourism industry, your division and everything that you do, we said as a policy, I mean, I'm not saying that's what we're doing right now, but I'm saying that I'm asking you the question, is there an area or two or three or none that the division does that can't be contracted if that's what we desire to do?
In terms of everything, the entire body of things that the division does?
The division does.
And you would still be paying state money or just letting the industry pay for all of it themselves?
State money, because that's what we're scheduled to do right now.
It would be part of the contract.
Well, I do think there's a number of things in terms of interagency coordination, working with other state and federal agencies, working with communities on planning, transportation issues, which are the things that we would be the ones who continue to do. We would, as laid out in this legislation, we would be the ones who continue to do that. I think that those are, that's an important role for government and what's, I think, the functions of the division. In terms of marketing, I don't think it's so much a question of things that they can or can't do. I think it's more of an issue of how it is done. And the difference between having something, I mean, it's not unlike asking whether or not AOGA could be the division of oil and gas, or the Alaska Miners Association could be the division of mines. I think we've got public lands and public resources that we're basically working on behalf of the residents of this state to help manage them. And generally speaking, I think there is a government role in that oversight.
Hey, Representative Mulder, did you still want to ask?
No, Mr. Chairman, and honoring your request to be done in 5 minutes, so I'll back off.
We do need to move on. I thank the individuals with the tourism industry for their presentation today, and Ginny for the comments from the department's perspective. I'm sure we're going to be back dealing with this in subcommittee level and probably the full committee level, so we're going to have many more discussions on this. Next, we do have House Bill 116 up, and I see staff for the prime sponsor.